Thank you, Brother Alton. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 18. It's a real joy to be here, and I love what God is doing here at Ambassador Baptist College. I remember when the school began a number of years ago, and I surrendered to preach under Dr. Comfort's ministry as a teenager, ironically, at the Bill Rice Ranch. I know you had Bill Rice here yesterday, and those are great memories to me, and I do remember meeting Brother Bill, and I've seen God work in his life, and I thank the Lord for what he's doing here at Ambassador Baptist College. A number of years ago, when I was a pastor, beginning as a pastor, I came here and made an announcement simply in a chapel service that I needed some help. I was pastoring at the time over in a little place called Siler City, North Carolina, and this was a number of years ago, and I needed some help, and through that, I began a relationship with some students here that would drive over and help me on the weekends, and what a blessing. And even one of those later became on our staff as one of our assistant pastors, and so thank the Lord for that. I do bring you greetings from Lakeside Baptist Church in Clearwater, South Carolina. And this coming spring, I will have been pastor there now, Lord willing, for 10 years. And I follow a pastor who started the church and pastored it for 54 years. So in the 64-year history of the church, there's only been two pastors. But if I pastor as long as the previous pastor for 54 years, I think I'll be 99 years of age. So I'm not sure if I'll be able to do that. Matthew chapter 18. Let's stand to our feet, please, if you would. And I want God to speak to us this morning. Let's begin reading in verse number 21. Thank you for your time this morning. And we're looking forward to God doing something in all of our hearts. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But as for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, and he said ironically the same thing he had previously said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. I want you to notice that phrase in verse number 35 that we just read, if. Now that's interesting, isn't it? If. It's interesting that a Christian would not forgive. If. It's kind of like, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if it's since we are going to forgive? But Jesus said, if ye from your hearts forgive not. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you and praise you for who you are. I pray that, Lord, you'll speak to our hearts. I pray you'll challenge us. I pray that you'll encourage us. Lord, these words that we read this morning are from the lips of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the precious Word of God. And I pray that you'll impress upon all of our hearts, Lord, to be forgiving people, to be loving people, to be people of grace. We love you and praise you and thank you for who you are. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'll just tell you right up front this morning, I didn't come here to waste your time or mine. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to be different than not only the average person. I want to challenge you this morning to be different than the average Christian. There is a difference in people. I want to challenge you to rise up, and I want to challenge you to call you, if I can, to be people who are forgiving people. Because sadly, there is a difference in Christians, some who are forgiving people and some who are not forgiving people. And Jesus addresses that issue this morning And I want the Lord to speak to us. It's interesting, even as I was listening to the news, I drove up about a three-hour ride this morning to be here and left early this morning and glad to do it, listening to the news on the radio. And I heard the story of a man this morning, actually this evening, last evening, who was put to death by lethal injection in the state of Alabama. This man was the age of 40, and about 20 years ago, he was in some type of auto accident, and when the police officer arrived, this man took out a gun and walked up to the police officer's car and shot the police officer five times until he died. And this man has been serving in prison in the state of Alabama, and he, last night about 9:30, was put to death by lethal injection. And the last words that this man said last night, he said six words. He, speaking of the state of Alabama, he said, "I hate you. I hate you." And those were his last words. And the last thing this man did on earth before he stepped out into eternity, he held up fingers in an obscene gesture for the cameras. And I find it interesting that the family of this police officer, whose last name was Gordon, they put out a statement. And I just read this statement this morning as I was stopped along the road and read this. They read a statement, and they had a statement read, and the last phrase of this statement was, "Though this has been a difficult day for the Gordon family, the police officer's family, we also continue to pray for the family of Tory McNabb." Now, I want you to recognize this morning, there really is a difference in people. And I'm asking God to cause you to rise up this morning and be that different kind of people. I want to challenge you this morning, because we talk about it, we know about it, and we act as if we are forgiving people, but sometimes we fail to forgive. I had a man in my office a number of years ago when I was a youth pastor. I've been the pastor at my church now for almost 10 years, 4 years pastor of another church in Siler City before I went there. And then 21 years before that, I was a youth pastor. And while I was a youth pastor, I had a parent come into my office. I had the discipline, just kind of, I guess in some sense, correct his son at a youth event, and this man did not like it. He came into my office, and this man, ironically, was a missionary and temporarily home, and his son was in my youth group. And this man came in my office and raked me over the coals and said some very ugly things to me. I had a lady one time come, and actually a teenage girl was in our youth group, and she actually helped us out in the youth ministry. And she called me up one day because I had to speak to her daughter, and she called me up, and she began over the telephone to bless me out and to say some very unkind things to me. And she even said to me, "Brother Tad, I don't even think you're saved." And I thought, well, I'm pretty sure I'm saved. I remember being there. But it's interesting, isn't it? Even Christian people can speak like that and act like that and talk like that. It's interesting that Christian people can be unforgiving people. I want to challenge you today as a student. I want to challenge you today perhaps as a single student or a married student. Some maybe even have children here this morning, I don't know. But I want to challenge you as a man, as a woman, perhaps as a parent or a husband or wife. I want to challenge you if God's leading you into the ministry. I promise you, you will have people hurt you. How many of you already would say by raising of your hand, at some point in my life as a Christian, I've had other Christian people hurt me? Would you signify by raising your hand? I want you to understand, we realize that's an issue. You mark it down, you will have people hurt you. You will have people say things about you, and I wish that were not so, but I believe Jesus, obviously he knows everything. Jesus knew that, that's why he addressed this. And I want to challenge you this morning with three very simple statements. And I want you, if you will, to write these down. And I hope that this will mean something to you. And I want you not only to even write these statements down, I want you to even remember these statements and even say these statements out loud. I want, number one, I want you to say these three words, "I will forgive." Would you say those words with me this morning? "I will forgive." Say them again with me, would you please? "I will forgive." Ladies, would you say those three words with me? "I Men, would you say those words? I Everybody, one more time. I say, Pastor Tad, why are you doing that? Because we ought to be forgiving people. Now, you see, forgiveness is a choice. We can choose to forgive or we can choose not to forgive. And when you raise your hand and you signify that people have hurt you, that very well could have been a family member. It could have been a church member. Could have been a fellow believer. It could even have been a lost individual, but at some point, you raised your hand and you indicated that at some point in your life, somebody has hurt you, perhaps stabbed you verbally in the back, said something about you, done something to you, or did not respond in the way you thought they should respond, and they've hurt you, and that's troubled you, and if you're not careful, if you're not forgiving people, that will turn into bitterness. Now, Peter brought up this subject. That's why Jesus addressed it. Peter was perhaps remembering that there was a law in those days that you had to forgive people three times. You've probably studied all of this. I'm not going to necessarily teach you anything new. So that's why Peter said, Lord, should I forgive seven times? You know, three plus three with one extra. Lord, should I just forgive seven times? You know, I believe Peter probably was, and by the way, I like Simon Peter. I know sometimes we have a tendency to get on Simon, but I like his spunk. I really do. And I know he quite often, you know, would say things perhaps without thinking, but, you know, I think from time to time we're kind of all like that. But Peter perhaps was thinking, Lord, I want to let you know I'm going to do the good thing. I'm not just going to forgive three times, but Lord, don't you think it would be a good idea if, Lord, we all forgave seven times? And so the Lord told this story in response to that about a man who owed so much, and this man was forgiven by the king that he owed money to. Maybe he had embezzled this money, or maybe he stole or whatever, but he owed the king, the Lord, so much money. And the Lord told this story to help us to understand that just like the Lord, this king had forgiven this man, you and I are to be forgiving people. Now, sadly, that's not the case. And I'm talking to folks here this morning at a very good Bible college. I would say this to the people of my own church that I love. Many times we're very miserable people. And the reason that we're miserable people is we have bitterness in our heart. We have resentment in our heart. And we have the tendency, and we all have this human tendency that when we're attacked, we have the tendency to attack back. That is our natural instinct. We all have that desire deep down. That's our flesh that's rising up. And when we're attacked, we want to attack back. And sometimes it gets to us and we can't smile and we can't sing and we can't enjoy a walk with God. And sometimes it'll affect our health. You study that. Sometimes it'll certainly will affect our joy. It'll affect our talk. It'll affect our witness. And sometimes we can't be the lady that we're supposed to be. And we can't be the man that we're supposed to be. And we can't be the husband that we're supposed to be. And sometimes it turns us into a mean individual. I have met some mean Christians. And I believe the root of the problem is not just bitterness, but what started that bitterness is there's an unwillingness for us to be forgiving people. Oh my, what a problem that causes. And there are people even in the ministry today who are unforgiving people. And it causes us to have an ugly spirit. And we're wounded people, but when we are wounded, we have a tendency to wound back. And there's hatred in our heart and it begins to build up, and then we want to speak to others just like they've spoken to us. And so Jesus told this story. And notice what the Bible says when Jesus told this story. I want you to look in, verse number 24. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him, notice what that says, 10,000 talents. Now I know we have Bible scholars here this morning, and I respect that. But I did some reading on that, and you could read a book and a book and a book, and you can read commentaries, and you could get all kinds of opinions about how much 10,000 talents would be even today or how much it was then. It's kind of hard to sometimes when you study monetary numbers in the Bible how to compare that to today because the economy changes so much. The economy has changed numerous times in my lifetime. But I think most people would agree if you studied that out already. Perhaps you already understand that 10,000 talents, we may not be able to put an exact number on that today in 2017, but most people would agree that 10,000 talents was an enormous number. That was an enormous amount of money. And the idea, I believe, when Jesus was stating 10,000 talents, he was indicating, and I know this is a parable and you can't read too much into it, but Jesus is teaching something. Jesus is illustrating something. He's illustrating that the individual that he speaks about in this parable is a man who owed more money than he could ever, ever pay back. That was an enormous amount of money. I think it was Warren Wiersbe or somebody even stated that this was an amount of money that this man, if he lived several lifetimes, could never pay back. It was an extreme amount of money. And you wonder, why would someone like that even loan someone that amount of money? Maybe it wasn't a loan. Maybe he stole it. Now, again, it's a parable, so don't dig too deep into that. But you understand the concept. Jesus was illustrating an individual that owed an enormous amount of money so that if he lived perhaps several lifetimes, he could never, ever, ever pay that back. Listen, I want to remind you this morning that you and I are just like that. We have owed a debt that we could never, ever, ever repay. If you had all the money in the world and somehow you were able to collect it, I wish I would be your friend. But if you were able to have all the money in the world that you could collect all of it, you or I could never pay our sin debt. And so you see salvation in that. You see the grace of God in that. We all owed a sin debt that no matter how much money we have, no matter how much good works we do, no matter what kind of performance we have in our life, we could never, ever pay that sin debt. And so therefore, could I remind you this morning that you and I have been forgiving? Why not be forgiving people? I will forgive. Number two. Not only I will forgive, but I want you to remember this statement. Write this down. I will forgive many times. I will forgive many times. Would you say that with me together? I will forgive many times. Say that again with me, would you please? I will forgive many times. Now, we see that illustrated in Scripture. Peter brought up, remember, seven times. Lord, seven times. And remember, Jesus said in verse number 22, until 70 times 7. Now, I think, again, if you study that out, you're understanding Jesus is not necessarily teaching math. We know that 70 times 7 is 490, but I don't necessarily believe that's what Jesus was indicating, that in the old law you could forgive three times. Peter's suggesting seven times, but Jesus now is suggesting 490 times. When you get up to 450, 460, 470, 480, 489, 490, and you can stop. I don't think that's what Jesus is suggesting. I believe Jesus is illustrating and picturing to you and to me this morning that we are to not only be forgiving people, but you and I are to be people who forgive again and again and again and again. And in other words, I believe Jesus has given us an illustration this morning that if somebody hurts us, we are to forgive them. If somebody hurts us again, we are to forgive them. If that same individual hurts us, we are to forgive them again. They hurt us, we forgive again. They hurt us, we forgive again. And it goes on and on and on. You could just keep going on. I'm so thankful God treats us that way. Again and again. You say, Pastor Tad, there's still an issue. You know, you're right. Just because you forgive somebody and just because you forgive them again and again and again doesn't always solve the issue in their heart or the issue between them too, or you too. Now, I believe you ought to forgive somebody even if they don't request or ask or beg for your forgiveness. But I believe that you ought to forgive in your heart and before the Lord someone even if they don't ask you. But I do realize that sometimes just because you forgive, that doesn't always solve the problem that this individual may have towards you. I realize that. There are people perhaps here this morning, it would not surprise me, that at some point in your life you've been abused. I deal with that quite often. I had a lady come to me once before when years ago. She was about the age of 80, and she said, Pastor Tad, she said, I preached on a similar subject to this about forgiveness or grace or mercy or whatever. And she said, Pastor Tad, she said, something happened to me from my brother when I was a child. She said, I'm 80-something years old now. She said, I just can't forgive. That is a real issue with a lot of people. And by the way, her brother was now dead. So there was no way that she could go to him physically and ask forgiveness or tell him, I should say, that she has forgiven him. There perhaps are people here who've been verbally abused, physically abused. Sometimes in your ministry, you'll run into people and individuals where there are marriages that are struggling and marriages that are in trouble. And one or the other, you know, the reason why, by the way, marriages are in trouble is some wife or some husband, either one or both, are not being the believer that God wants them to be. But there's a lack of desire to forgive, and husbands hold grudges toward their wives, and wives hold grudges toward their husbands, and it even goes with older adults, perhaps many times with their grown children. And sometimes you may want to forgive, and you may want to say, I forgive you, but that individual may not even respond to that, or you may not have the opportunity to physically or in person forgive someone. But you still ought to forgive whether that solves the problem or not. You see, I could go, I love Brother Alton, but if I came up to Brother Alton this morning and I said, Brother Alton, I'm getting a little tired of you, and I took my fist and I just pounded on his nose because I pack a pretty good punch, I would bloody his nose. Now, don't let me do that. I'm probably not going to do that. I think he's a little bit bigger than me. I think he could take me. But if I pounded his nose, you know what I would do after? I hope I would never do that. But if I did that, I hope that I would say, Brother Alton, please forgive me. Brother Beal, I am so sorry. I don't know why I lost control. I was a little bit jealous of you, or I was a little bit envious of you, or I had some bitterness toward you. Brother Beal, please, please, please forgive me. I beg forgiveness from you. And you would say, see now, because he's a wonderful guy, he forgives me. Now, that's all well and good, but you know there's still a problem. He has a bloody nose. And he may have to go to the hospital and get it x-rayed. Just because you forgive someone doesn't always mean the problem's going to go away. Sometimes, young people, you have to let God handle the end result. Sometimes, certainly, there might need to be counseling. Sometimes, certainly, there needs to be prayer. Sometimes, certainly, there needs to be intervention, obviously, from the Lord God Himself. But you understand that is not always your responsibility, and that is not always up to you to try to figure it out. What is up to you and what is up to me is I will forgive, and I will forgive many times, again and again and again and again. And you know what we're missing in a lot of lives of people in our churches? We have people who come every Sunday morning, perhaps to your church and to mine, and they're harboring grudges and there's bitterness and they won't speak to someone. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a church member, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, and it's been going on for weeks or months or even years. And as a result, no wonder we can't sing. No wonder there's no joy. No wonder the countenance has changed. No wonder we can't experience revival, because God's people are not willing to be forgiving. We see it all in our society today. Politicians don't forgive. People don't forgive politicians. Politicians don't forgive people. That's why we have an epidemic of crime, and we have a lot of hatred going on in our society. People marching, people mad, people, because people, even from years ago, people are not willing to let it go. I will forgive. I will forgive many times. I want to tell you, I love what I'm doing. I love being the pastor of Lakeside Baptist Church, some of the most wonderful people in the world. And I've been there again this coming summer, or this coming spring in May. I'll be there for 10 years, Lord willing. And before that, I was a pastor, and then before that, I was a youth pastor, and I love it. And I've had the wonderful opportunity to have many relationships with a lot of wonderful people. And over the years, being in the ministry now for a number of years, I've seen people grow up and now ministering sometimes to their children and sometimes even grandchildren. And I love all that. I love relationships with people, but I want to tell you, there will be people who will try you. And there will be people that sometimes it might be hard to forgive, because they may say something about you. They may say something about your family. They may say something about your ministry or the way that you minister. They may hurt you deeply. I promise you, one day that will happen. And I'm challenging you this morning to determine to look at the words of Jesus and not only forgive, but to forgive again again and again and again. I'm not talking about letting people run over you. I'm talking about being like Christ, who hung on the cross of Calvary when people had spit in his face and people had yelled, "Crucify him," and they hated him and they cursed at him, and with piercings in his body, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And Jesus is indicating to all of us in this passage, if you want to be Christ-like, be forgiving people. And that means forgive many times. Is that making sense with everybody so far this morning? Number three, not only number one will I forgive, I will forgive. Number three, I will forgive many times. Excuse me, number two, I will forgive many times. Number three, I will forgive because I have been forgiven. I will forgive because I have been forgiven. Now, you know the story very well. We've already read it. The man was forgiven. He was forgiven a debt that in perhaps numerous lifetimes he could never, ever repay. And as soon as he leaves his Lord, the King, as soon as he walks out, perhaps even on the steps of the palace of the king, he runs into someone who probably owes him a few dollars. He has been forgiven a debt that he could never, ever, ever repay. You would think that he would be jumping up and clicking his heels and shouting from the top of his lungs, "The king forgave me. The king forgave me." But with all of that enormous, unpayable debt that he had just been forgiven, he goes out and literally finds someone who perhaps owes him the equivalent of just a few dollars, and the Bible says he grabs that man by the throat. Now notice what verse 28, "But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.'" Now, I find that interesting, don't you? That is typical of a lot of people. I believe Jesus Christ is indicating that is typical of a lot of believers who profess to be saved and who've been forgiven a debt that they could never, ever repay. But for some reason, there's a hesitancy. There's a resistance to when someone hurts us or offends us. We somehow forget that we've been forgiven of everything, and we can't let go of what someone has done to us. Jesus says, no. We need to be people who are forgiving people because we have been forgiven. You see, there are some people who call themselves Christian who live with an unforgiving spirit. People see it. It shows on their countenance. It's hard to hide. And there's an ugliness about it. Now notice that word in verse number 34. I find this interesting. "And his Lord was wroth." This is when he brought him back in to talk to him. "The Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors." Mark that word, tormentors. If you study that out, I'm not a Bible scholar. Maybe you can study far more than me. But from what I understand, that word tormentors is the same word that's used in Luke chapter 16 when the rich man was in hell. And the rich man in hell, remember, he wanted someone to dip his finger in water so he could get one drop of water on his tongue. Because remember, he said, "For I am what? Tormented in this flame." I don't know exactly everything that Jesus intended for us to understand about this passage, but I find it interesting that Jesus uses that word tormentors, that same word torment. And it could be that maybe Jesus is reminding us this morning that what marks you as a believer and what identifies you as a believer is your willingness and eagerness to be forgiving people. And if we're not forgiving people, if we hold grudges and bitterness toward our loved ones, toward our family members, toward our spouse, toward maybe someone at school or at church, if we're unwilling to be forgiving people, I believe Jesus might be saying, we're living like lost people instead of living like true believers. My dad is 81 years of age. Matter of fact, I think a year or two ago he preached here. My dad's an evangelist and he lives in Concord. I'm from North Carolina. I'm a Tar Heel. I'm from this state. I've lived in South Carolina for most of my ministry and love it. But I'm a Tar Heel. I'm from the state of North Carolina. I was born and raised in Charlotte, right outside of Charlotte. My dad still lives in Concord, not far from the Speedway over there. And just has a double-wide mobile home that he lives in, lived there for a year and loves it. He's an evangelist. He travels all over America. I speak to him typically every Sunday morning, and I think he was preaching in Salisbury this past Sunday. He preached just a few weeks ago in Chicago. He preaches down in Florida. He goes all over the place. He's got a lung disease, never smoked a day in his life, of course, but he's got a lung disease that's kind of taking his breath away, but he's still preaching. He actually told God several years ago, they told him, I think about 7 years ago, that he had 2 years to live. And he's still preaching. He told God, he said, God, if you'll just let me preach, I don't even care if I can talk. He's actually losing some breath in order to talk, but he still preaches on Sunday. That's an amazing thing. I was a young man in the ministry, and somebody hurt me. And I was pretty upset. And I talked to my dad about it. And my dad told me a story that just a few years ago, before he told me this story, somebody who was very close to him and his family, concerning the mother, my dad's mother, somebody wrote a very ugly, accusing, falsely accusing letter about the way that my dad was or wasn't taking care of his mother, which my dad did. She's with the Lord now. But this individual in the family wrote a very nasty letter to my dad. And he said, son, I still have that letter. And he said, I've never once ever responded to it. He said, I still see this individual. And knowing the individual, he still does. He said, I've never said one word to him about it. He said, I've been loving, kind, gracious, we laughed together, knowing all the time that letter is back at my house, that he accused me of some terrible things. He said, son, if I were you, I'd just bury it. Forgive. And I want to tell you, that stabbed me. I kind of want to be like my dad, because my dad's being like Jesus. You all probably very well know the story of Fanny Crosby. Y'all probably studied her life. And you know that when she, matter of fact, I think her life is absolutely incredible. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Scoville, maybe you can correct me, but I think she wrote 9,000 hymns or something like that. Incredible. And what an unbelievable lady. But you know, she was blind. You're very well aware of that. And when she was young, I don't know the exact age, but when she was very young, she went to a doctor because some fever or something she had, and the doctor put something in her eyes that caused her to be blind. And they later found out, if the story is correct, they later found out that doctor was not even a doctor. He was a fake quack doctor. She could have gone through life mad at God, mad at that doctor, mad at life, bitter, angry. But you know very well that's not what she did. You know her life. And when she was 8 years old, I don't know if I would have written anything worthwhile when I was 8 years old, but she wrote her first poem when she was 8 years old. This young lady who was born with sight, and because of someone's foolishness, she was blinded for life. This is what she wrote when she was 8 years old. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. And because she wasn't bitter and had a forgiving spirit toward God, toward that doctor, God gloriously used her life. And we still enjoy the blessings of her ministry today. Young people, you're at a very important time in your life when you're studying for the ministry and you're learning a lot of incredible things. Learn the Bible. Learn good doctrine. Learn how to deal with people. Learn how to pray. Absolutely. Can I challenge you? Learn how to forgive. It'll make you different, not than the normal person. It'll make you different than the normal Christian. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment. I want you to think about that. I want to challenge you to make a decision this morning. I want to challenge you to come to a decision because, you see, forgiveness is a choice. You choose it. I don't know, there may be someone here this place this morning that there's something going on in your heart. Maybe there's a broken relationship, or maybe there's a bitterness because of something maybe well before you came to school or since you've been to school. Forgiveness is a choice. You can choose to live with that hatred, that bitterness, that anger, and you can still be in the ministry. But you won't be everything that God wants you to be. Forgiveness is a choice. Jesus told us this story to remind us that we have been forgiven more than we could ever repay. Now you go and you forgive people who simply say a word about you or say something ugly about you or treat you in the wrong manner. Considering what you and I have been forgiven, you go and you forgive. And you forgive again and again and again. Again and again and again. And you do that because you have been forgiven. I wonder this morning if there's somebody here in this place that would be willing to just kind of let things go. Oh, don't let things go with your studies. Don't let things go with your hair. Don't let things go with your life. But there are things going on perhaps in your heart that you need to ask God to give you the grace to forgive. Bury it. Go on for God. It'll make you different. Our Father in heaven, we love you this morning. We thank you and praise you for who you are. Thank you for reminding us today to be forgiving people. Lord, help us not to be like the average Christian. Help us, sadly, not to be like the average person sometimes, even in ministry. Help us to love people. Help us to love you. Help us to forgive people. And teach others by our example how to forgive. Thank you for forgiving us.